Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
No Free Willy.
Ford Fusion.
Yeah.
No. I'm stealing Ford Fusion.
No, I don't
Let's
like that.
The gas miles out of this fucking world.
Let's start screaming out Ford Fusion. Why not?
The Atlanta Airport Rental Car Return.
Oh.
God, that's specific.
You must be talking about Hartsfield-Jackson Airport.
Absolutely. I've returned a rental car from there.
The worst place to rent a fucking car on the face of the earth
O'Hare. Not at all. Absolutely
O'Hare.
Not. No, the worst
Dude,
place
Chicago
is
the worst.
Denver. Denver.
Mm. That is a bad rental. The airport's nice, but it's a bad rental.
Yeah, it's a bad rental, and you can never get out of there.
I thought that's what I thought. Like I was in a cattle car with cattle.
Yeah,
like, to get to the rental car agency.
They have been remodeling it, though.
I have a feeling though, you've been in a lot of cattle cars. I really do.
I have, actually.
I know. I know you have, Jared.
I have been transferred. No, Ross.
We should tell the Drinking Bros. Hello, everyone. We just came back from Washington, D.C., hence the travel talk. I feel like we're sponsored by Travelocity. The gnome.
Dude, they don't get any of that.
I'm a frequent flyer on American, United, and Southwest. That is fucking depressing.
I'm kicking ass on Southwest.
Yeah.
I just got
of course
my tickets to L.A.
Today,
all
son.
The way up.
I'm going straight there.
Yeah, I bet it was 180 each way.
Oh, dude, it was a solid 800 for. I've already got to change it. I just got the text from our publicist.
Shut the fuck up. What are you guys going to be there for?
BuzzFeed is doing a movie review. On
Look
Monday
at that.
For Range 15, which
Look
is her fourth
that.
Feature
Range
film
15.
Coming out in theaters June 15th.
It is.
Gentlemen, two.
Look at that. That's Matt Best learning the segues. That's our first one. Is go to tug.com, TUGG.com for Range 15 tickets. It's a little movie that the three of us are starring in. Rocco can't be here tonight because he's on his way to Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
To see the family before the big LA premiere.
Drive. You know,
he is.
The scenic drive between El Paso and Phoenix, which all you've got is Deming.
Yeah.
Good old Deming.
Good old D-Town.
It's got a Chevy dealership, and that's about it.
Motel 6 and McDonald's.
Yeah. So, look, we've got a movie coming out in theaters across the nation, 560 theaters across the nation. Go to tug.com, TUGG.com. /range15, you'll see Matt Best's lovely face on the homepage. Oh, hey. Click it on, type in your zip code. It's playing every single place you've ever wanted to be. So go and get tickets. We're trying to break the record. It would be an amazing feat to break the opening box office weekend record of 1.3
million.
But
it's definitely not playing in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Is it not playing there? It's not playing in Jackson Hole.
Yeah, no. No Jackson Hole.
Weird. Weird. That's a ski town. It's summertime, though. Summertime.
They only had half a theater, though. It was half of a theater. Well, they asked us for a weird 4-3 ratio. Like, we just didn't have the file.
No, we did. They asked for a VCR
tape. Is that real?
They asked for it on VCR is what happened.
Do y'all have it on VCR? Y'all got it on VCR?
Man, you got a VCR tape I can shove up my butt?
Is this manual tracking or I'm going to have to use the moat?
Man, be honest with me. Now, do you have a bus knob, like for a driving wheel that I can just spin the movie around, just grabbing the knob?
I really want to show it that night. I just need to see if the city bus is going over to that theater because I don't have a vehicle. I got to take the bus. So let me check the bus schedule. I'll get back to you. You get me that VCR tape and we'll be good to go.
Now, you can put your dick in Mary's hole or you can put it in Jackson's hole. It's up to you, bud. It's up to you. Just kidding, Jackson.
You know when you're
Jackson's whole Wyoming. We love you.
God damn it.
Everything's speculation until you jam your dick into it.
Until you jam your dick into it. You know what isn't speculation, though, Jared? Is a little energy drink called Strike Force.
Strike Force
Put energy.
Put down the can. Put down the can.
Kick the fucking can. Kick the can and get some StrikeForceEnergy.com. It is liquid energy in a pouch. It goes right into water. It is 99 cents. You can get a box of 10 for $10. They'll ship it anywhere in the world for $6. You know the great thing about it is
it's almost like an energy orgasm because every time you rip that pouch, you squirt a little bit out into
Ross,
your drink, and it's a good morning.
You would know the answer to this. You remember that Broadway play where people were just banging on trash cans and shit?
Rent.
What was that called?
Rent.
Was that called Rent?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So if you were to take Rent and put it into a little pouch, that's Strikeforce Energy.
Oh,
do you think
yeah.
Convince them for their new slogan to be energy ejaculation?
I think they could.
It should.
I think that's a good slogan.
Have you seen? You've seen the movie Over the Top. If you put Over the Top and Commando inside a fucking package, it's StrikeForceEnergy.com.
Oh,
and if you go. If you go to the website, type in the promo code Drinkin' Bros. You get 20% off every single
drinking
time.
It makes you out of breath.
Such hard energy, it makes you out of breath. Like you just worked out.
Fucking hard energy. You don't even have to work out. All you have to do is drink that shit instead on the couch, dude.
Yeah, that's
Strike
me.
Force
like,
energy. Drinkin' Bros.
Listen,
out of breath,
I just heard the word hard, and I did talk to Ron Jeremy for about 20 minutes today, and we'll get into that after the sponsors.
Oh, I cannot wait.
We're
cannot
besties,
wait.
You guys should be.
You know what? You know what
Does
else?
Does he know your name?
Yeah. You know what? You know what else
again.
I got for
okay.
Matt? I got something else for you. This was an hour before the show started. I get a call from a man named Kenny Gunter. Yeah, I don't know if it rings a bell. He owns a company called Tartarus Ordnance.
Oh,
yeah, and you know what he said? You know what he said
I
to me, Matt?
Wish a motherfucker would.
He said no. This time he said, "I'm not fucking leaving. I'm not fucking leaving. Tartarus Ordnance is going to sponsor fucking Drinking Bros until the end of time. You're going to have to drag me out of here on
Hell
a
yeah.
fucking cart because Tartarus is staying. They are staying
the
for another
goddamn
month. They are staying on
heard.
For June. They are staying on for
oh,
June.
Man. Oh,
Tartarus
man.
Ordnance
those
for
guys.
The win.
TartarusOrdnance.com. That is TartarusUS. ORDNANCE.com. They sell home defense ammunition. They sell bullets. They sell guns. Every
I wish a
motherfucker
would.
They sell everything you need to kill people, dude, just in case they break in. Or if you're just going
to
have fun on the range.
Defend yourself like an American citizen that you should
yeah,
be.
Yeah, you're not just randomly killing people.
Yeah.
And owning your Second Amendment rights and living the Constitution.
You were there making America. Sure that those that do bad don't do anything anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You,
like,
you're
I don't
protecting
always wish
your
a motherfucker
house.
Would, but when they do, I got it, you know?
Yeah, you got to go to TartarusOrdnance.com, and you type in the promo code Drinkin' Bros on that one, you get 10% off of every fucking order. God damn it, I love it. And when I'm shooting
Listen,
guns, I like to drink.
You've been there.
Matt.
It's 1 a.m. You're at the gas station. You got your Glock.
No, I'll tell you what. You want to talk about that? When we were walking to that bar that was 9 miles away, that was supposedly 2
yeah.
blocks.
Yeah. Oh,
that,
boy.
That posse of shady looking.
Is that why?
Teenagers.
Is that why you guys kept walking forward?
Evan,
and that frosting.
Evan and I. No. What we were gonna do? So Evan and I looked at him. And we all go, okay, we're gonna space ourselves. So we already had a plan. Evan and I were literally gonna split. And then come on both of their flanks if they fucking tried anything weird. So we were going to immediately just go opposite directions. We already had it worked out. We're
what,
like,
what
okay.
Jared's talking about, we were in Washington, D.C., walking down a shady neighborhood, and it was...
it was like midnight.
Yeah, us, midnight, a few yeah. female friends, and then...
No guns, yo. No
I didn't
guns.
Have my gun on me because I can't carry in the fucking stupid, you know...
State of Washington, D.C.
What, that's not a state.
It's not a whatever. State, Jared.
It's a district. Yeah. Whatever.
Come on, Jared.
All the taxes.
I'm no geographtician.
You're better than
all
this.
All the taxes, none of the representation. You know
I,
how they
I
say
ain't no
it.
Geographtician.
In the state of Washington, D.C. Oh, man, that's great. I love that.
Yeah, but so look, so if we had if we had some Tartarus ordnance on us, we'd be able to fucking yeah. shoot people up.
Dude.
Again, though, I think that falls like what that whole thing went down to. Is they sized us up and went, ooh, camouflage, tactical pants, boots. Like, this is going to be a hard one, gents.
Yeah.
We're going to skip this one because yeah. there's four of them.
yeah. They definitely sat that round out for sure. For sure.
You did see them contemplating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like, oh, should we fuck with all these white people? Or, no, these white kids look tough. They got beards. That one's really tall. We're good.
Yeah, yeah. They were Mexicans, which you know. Well, no, not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't know why Mexican's such a derogatory
term.
Where's
Rocco
days,
when you need here to fucking
exactly, exactly. But good. Look, you know, I did hear one of them utter, "Man, look at those fucking four Trump supporters," you know, like. In a Spanish tone, they were like, "I bet the one with the beard's really into fucking Trump, dude." And they meant you.
I heard
man.
The one.
Meanwhile, they live in fucking Virginia, and we live in Juarez. So
I know.
Cool. If anybody wants to play the fucking Mexican card to me, it's like, bro, I live in fucking Juarez.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
Dude, I don't know if you heard Ross, but the one in the back of that group said, "I bet that tall motherfucker writes books like a bitch."
He does. Oh, you know dude. What? You know what?
I heard that too.
And he goes, "Man, I bet he wrote the greatest goddamn piece of literature ever known to man at night." She
Did
cries,
you know?
And then she cries
man.
While he Holy rides his shit. Steed. The first ever romance novel for dudes. God damn it. It's killing the charts right now. It's available on Amazon, Audible, your fucking dad's bookshelf. It is everywhere you need to be and
you know,
want to be.
Ross, I'm going to say this to you right now. You know, one of my best friends that I've grown up with since we were 8 years old, he's a TACP with me. You know, he followed after high school. He followed to the TACP world with me, and he just moved to Germany. And he had bought your book for the flight there. And he wrote me back and just said, "Holy shit, bro. That book, I was laughing out loud like an idiot. Everybody around me was like, the fuck's wrong with this guy? The flight attendants asked him to move to another seat."
Yes. Like, yes. It, dude, no bullshit. By the way, if you pick it up, anybody out there, it really is the funniest book ever. I don't really have an ego about it, but. If you not want during, laughter and enjoy all. Life, you should probably buy it. If you want even more joy in your life, you should buy Lead Slinger's whiskey.
Yes. Yes
oh,
indeed.
The tender, sweet juice.
The delicious fruits of the gods.
It's the fruit of the groin. A lot of people are calling it the fruit of the groins.
I like that.
I drink Lead Slinger's, I usually feel like I'm on a hammock getting hand-fed grapes. By a mixture of ethnic ladies, you
I'm
know?
On a,
yeah,
I'm on a hammock,
Puerto Ricans. What?
I'm
Puerto Rican, some Caucasian,
getting a
Asian. A double hand job.
Oh, you're getting a basket hands. Weave. No. You're getting a basket weave HJ,
yeah,
is what you just said
basket.
There.
Are you big enough for a basket weave? Because you're not Big Dick Daddy Russ.
No, I mean, she's not using both hands on the shaft. I mean, one somewhere else.
Like your butt?
We don't talk about
Are you
about
doing butt stuff?
Yeah. That's the only other place another hand could go,
Jared.
Don't
talk about where the other hand is. That's not a double hand job. That's a finger in the ass.
That's a man rule. You never talk where the other hand is.
Where else would it be? It would either be in your mouth, feeding you a sandwich.
Just slamming two fingers into Jared's
that's
mouth.
That's what up I didn't want to say, is I like to be fed during a hand job.
Oh, fed what?
Yeah, somebody like feeding like you a sandwich during a hand
carnivore
job?
Club or something.
A carnivore club. I'll definitely eat meat while I'm getting an HJ.
Oh, fuck puppets.
Well, let's jump in, kids. Let's jump in. We just got back from Washington D.C. last
we
night.
We missed you drinking, bros. It's good. It's good to be back.
No, you know what?
We got to hang out with a lot.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Bruce McLaughlin was there.
That was
I got
awesome.
To fucking. Slap, 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 high five.
Tim Morris
that
was there. Everybody was
Tim
there.
Tim Morris.
Joe
Tyler,
Wood was there.
Joe Wood.
Tyler Kern.
Kearns. Fucking Madeline Dahl.
I do feel this. I feel like
the Spreeders.
A lot of
Streeters. I'm sorry. I know other Spreeders.
A lot of people that listen to the podcast might not know that there is a Facebook social forum, a group that you can actually join where we kind of every day interact.
It's yep. not the Facebook page.
It's,
don't
it's
get
not,
confused.
Yeah,
it's a secret page.
It's a secret.
It's a secret group.
It's just a group
called Drinking Bros.
So we got to meet and see a lot of the guys from that page.
That is where
awesome.
That is where you can have daily interaction with all of us because we're in there every day.
We are behind the scenes,
like, so
pictures of the kids.
To all the people out there that write into the R15 inbox or the MBest inbox, like, and you're trying to like chat with somebody or something, go to the Drinking Bros group because we're in there every day. We're actually engaging. We're talking to people. We're throwing ideas out. You know, Drinking Bros has 92 different chapters in all 50 states and I think 17 different countries at this point because
yeah.
there's a Drinking Bros down under.
Down under.
Drinking Bros. Nuke
the ruse.
The Drinking Bros, the queen, like,
and there's a Drinking Bros in pretty much every city in the United States, big cities. Yeah. Austin,
big
Texas
cities,
is
yes.
a new one, yeah.
And I'll give this shout out to the San Antonio Drinking Bros. We called them at 4 p.m. one day, saying, "Hey, we're in town, throw a party tonight. We'll be there at 8." The leader of the Drinking Bros San Antonio wrote back, "We here's the location." By the time we showed up with the sheriff. Or the chief of police, I'm sorry, not the sheriff, the chief of police from a southern San Antonio division. We showed up there. It was almost, the bar was almost at max capacity.
And it was a fucking awesome
And
time.
It was a fucking
Because we love them Drinking Bros.
Rager
Damn it,
it was
man.
A blast.
Yeah, it's we should tell them too about, so we had a screening in Washington, D.C. for the GI Film Fest.
Range 15,
there was
and some short documentaries that we had.
We did. The crowd was, there was a lot of Drinking Bros there. You forget, dude, because we sit in these little rooms and do the podcast. I forget how big it's grown. We're over a 250,000 listeners a month. A lot of them were there at the screening. They were quoting shit from the podcast. Everybody was going all the way up that night.
Dude, the support was so awesome. And I will say, like, it was pretty cool to hear from the Drinking Bros, a couple of the guys that we haven't interacted like admins with. They were talking about how they thought we were going to be like, you know, walking around like the celebrity types. They're like, "You just came and drank with all the Drinking Bros." And we're like, "Yeah, man, like, we're peers.
That's why
dude.
We're here.
That's dude. Why we're here. We're peers. We just have different day jobs than y'all, yeah. but like, we're
we
fucking
all
peers.
Stumbled over to the same premiere that you guys did.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were getting fucked up at 4 p.m.
Dude, that was
and
so
Matt,
cool.
And Matt rolled in because I remember when you walked in, everybody was like, "Oh, shit, it's Matt Best." You walked over to the bar, you bought two huge fucking. What would you call those buckets? Buckets full of ice of beer. There was 12 beers in it a piece, and just started dishing them out to people in the crowd, which was fucking awesome. And you walked away.
You got
to
support the boys.
I know. And they were like, "Holy shit, how cool is that fucking guy?" And I was just like,
I was told three times in the red carpet that I couldn't hold the beer I had. So like someone kept taking it from me. "Hey, I'll hold that for you while you do this interview." I'm like, "Why?"
Yeah. That's Jared.
Jared.
What?
Matt and I didn't have any problems buying buckets of beer for everyone, showering them with love. Jared, though, just couldn't be bothered with his, you know, "I'm on the red carpet now. I can't stain my suit." You had a suit on? I was really surprised.
They kept telling me I couldn't hold my beer.
Well, because they're doing
taking
the
it away.
Getty images and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but still, I don't care. I want photos with me with a beer in my hand. That's how I am. That's my
Hey, name. you want to tell the audience what you're wearing to the Los Angeles premiere next week?
I think it's a surprise.
Is it?
I don't know. Yeah.
No. Okay. We'll leave it. We'll leave it and then post
I think
it
after
we'll
the
post
podcast.
It. We'll post it on.
So this podcast will go up Thursday, which means Friday. Yeah. We'll leave it a surprise.
Yeah, for the Tuesdays.
Yeah,
episode.
We'll leave it a surprise.
Yeah,
we can talk about it after how it went. Because I got a good plan. But yeah, I had to wear a suit to this one, which I fucking hate, and I think it's stupid.
And if the listeners don't know, so the GI Film Festival is essentially the biggest military veteran arts film festival. So pretty much, I'm not sure the parameters, but you have to have, it has to be some form of pro-military or support the military or encompass the culture.
Yeah, and you have to get selected. So they have a panel of high-profile veterans and stuff like that.
And you know, not to blow our balls, but Range 15 won the top award. So all the way up!
All the way up! What's up?
No, it was a super cool experience. And also a weird one, too. And not to go on this tangent real quick, but Ross, you didn't get to see some of these shorts that we saw after, but what a weird vibe that a lot of these filmmakers do, man.
You know what I was saying too, Ross, and I want you to fucking jump in on this.
Absolutely.
Is to see, I get there are a lot of civilians that I meet, a lot of people that never got the chance to serve, whether it was a medical reason or just what they were doing or their profession. There's a lot of people out there that have it true in their hearts that want to fucking do good to veterans and first responders and police officers and everything. And there's this great fucking group of people that truly support it. And they back it up with not only their mouth, their money, and their support. And it's the same people that come out to support us, the same people that constantly write into guys like us, and whether it's the other companies or whatever like that. You have real people out there that never served that really love the community just as much as we do as this brotherhood.
And that's equally admirable.
But then there's this other group that I think thinks that in the film world, oh, if I make a hard-hitting military tribute, that's my ticket to fame and success. It's almost like calling yourself a Christian rock band these days.
Yeah.
Where like back in the day, it was right. Like, oh, if I call myself Christian rock, then I'm going to rise the charts and I'm going to get all these followers with this sub demographic,
and
they're going to back
it,
me. Yeah. And then as soon as we break it and make it, it's like, all right, we're not really a religious rock. It's like, yeah, you're so fake as fuck. And I see that repeating in the film world, where it's almost like, I'm going to make this hard hitting veteran touching film, and then everyone will go nuts over it. And it's, but we, the real people, can see right fucking through it and go.
Yeah, I don't know if I had told you that, Ross, but when we did one of the shorts, it was this guy that made
it's
this.
It's called We Men Are Lions.
Yeah, I wasn't going to promote it. That's fine. But
I'm just saying.
There was some other films done that were like, you know, had that sad, depressing, whatever vibe to them. And you're kind of like, okay, if there's a positive message at the end of the road, okay. But the unfortunate like part of a lot of those narratives were most of them had no positive outcome. Like this dude that wrote, he's a civilian, and Rocco and I are watching it together, and we're just shaking our heads. Like, this is, let me guess, he's going to go for the pills. He slammed some pills.
Yeah.
He's going to get drunk.
To throw up.
Now he's going to have a flashback.
I saw the scene where his mom was chewing him out, and it was just like, you are so fuck. You literally wrote this from like the cliche handbook.
Well, and the crazy thing was so Ross, we did a Q&A after, because we had two short films in the same showing as this dude, and we're standing doing a Q&A in front of the audience, and I just looked over at him. I was like, "Fuck the Q&A," and I was like, "Dude, what was the point of your fucking short film?" He couldn't talk for 15 seconds because he had no fucking idea. I found out he was a civilian, which is fine. You can make fucking veteran or military based, you know, art fucking projects, but this thing was trash. And he goes, well, I read Lone Survivor, so I figured I knew enough to make a fucking thing. I was
like, my God, dude,
I handed my mic to Alex and Rocco, because like, I'm gonna fucking rip this dude
in
half.
And this is one time that we'll go to this. So Alex Miller is a guy that produces all of our serious stuff for Article 15.
He's
Black
been
Ruffle
on the Drinking Bros podcast before.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
and he's been with us. So Alex produced our Memorial Day tribute. Like, here's one thing about Alex. That guy has been in the special operations community for almost 10 years of his life.
He's dive qualified at Super Bowl 50 too.
Halo qualified. He's now a combat controller up in an undisclosed location. But I'm just saying, like, the guy that is making these films for us has been there, literally been there. So that is why, if you see a difference in the productions that have come out of the Bremen Barraza tribute and documentary, or the Rocco spoken word, or our Memorial Day video, the reason is we have a real deal guy that is talented as fuck behind a camera that's making these things, and he knows how to speak our language, most of all.
And we want people to take away a positive narrative for it. These other people, they just want to make a hard-hitting thing that just kind of, you know, projects us as fucking stupid.
It's a cheat to views.
Yes. I want to hear Ross's side. Yes. Yeah.
I can tell you why from a filmmaker's perspective of why they do it. And Jared, you just touched on it. It's a cheat to views. It is. As a director, you know, as I don't know how old he was. You know, I didn't see him. I wasn't there for that portion.
Early 30s-ish.
Yeah, 30-ish. When you're a lot of people in Hollywood or filmmaking, when they're trying to make a name for themselves in the world of drama, of like, I want to be an artistic, dramatic filmmaker, they go to broken people, so to speak. They'll go to military veterans. Who just came home and saw something fucking crazy and now they can't get their life together. They'll go to prostitution, gangs, drugs. But there's very few subjects that are that hard-hitting and dramatic. So in their minds, they think to themselves, oh, man, this is my easy way in. I can do something like this. It doesn't have to be original. It's low budget.
You know what?
And
it's no different than the guy that jumped into the fucking cactus.
Yeah,
he knew that video was gonna get fucking 25 million views because that motherfucker just jumped into a cactus. God,
and that was a brutal cactus. Yeah. It grossed me out.
He sacrificed himself for attention. Steve-O, you were talking about it last time.
Yeah,
Ross.
Yeah,
Steve-O.
And I don't know if you guys saw today's, but today's was Snoop Dogg. Ironically, they remade Roots for the History Channel. You know, popular Roots from the 70s.
Wow. Yeah.
They remade it for the History Channel. It's an 8-part series. Snoop Dogg came out today and was like, hey, I want everybody to boycott this show and don't watch it. And he goes, I'm tired of black people, you know, being portrayed as slaves and slavery. And now we're going to have our kids grow up on the same mentality of slaves and slavery. Why can't we make our own original shit with a positive message that reflects our culture now and not a culture?
Yeah, that's legit.
I know. And not a culture of 200 years ago. And he goes, if you keep slamming your kids,
right.
If you keep slamming your kids in the face with slavery and how hard it was, and all the bullshit,
social issue.
Exactly, and that's exactly what he said.
Yeah, you're just keeping us in this fucking vacuum of this circle, and we're never progressing out of it.
But that was the funny thing. This guy, when I talked to him, like, the incompetence was insane. He goes, yeah, well, when you guys walked in, I knew you'd hate it. I'm like, you're literally portraying the guy standing right here.
Yeah.
That's what you were talking about.
You guys walked in, I knew you would hate it. So you literally fucked this project in the ass.
Yeah.
Like, because you didn't make it for us.
And I didn't even get a reach around, you know?
Yet you're here in the GI Film Festival. Who the fuck did you make the fucking project for?
Crazy, dude.
And that's what I want to know.
And
hey,
like, you
We Men Are Lions, why don't you fucking hit us up? Because I'll fuck your face off.
I'm so happy you're not there because you would have ruined.
And that's
I want him to know.
I hope he listens to this. I want him to know. Had I been there, because I went back and I watched everything I could on it, I would have tore him down so much I wouldn't have been allowed in the award ceremony.
I know. That's why I was semi-nice.
That's so good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, and if you're a filmmaker, try to put an original spin on something. I mean, like, you know, you take a simple theme of take 50 Cana Call Girl Love Story, my movie. It's about cancer. There's been a lot of movies about cancer. How do you make something interesting, real, and alive by not rehashing the same shit?
You did a fucking outstanding job in that. You did it so much, I had to call you and say, are you really sick?
Thank you. But as a filmmaker, from before I even started writing, I was like, all right, how do you tackle a subject and make it interesting and new and make the audience feel like they've never seen anything like this?
How do you do that before writing it?
But a lot of people don't do that.
Talent,
a lot of people don't do that.
If you have real talent and real motivation, you're going to become an expert on a subject before you dive into the writing and dive into your production. And that's
exactly
what you did.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You aren't just going to fucking play off the fucking stereotypes and the cliches. If you do that, you're a fucking lazy fuck.
I will say, if you've never, like, Ross is known more for like the really crazy comedies. If you haven't watched 50K and a Call Girl, which Ross was a star of and acted, I'll fucking admit it. I cried twice in that movie, and I don't fucking cry in movies. Like, that shit beat me up,
I thought you were
dude.
Really hurt.
Yeah. It was wonderfully made, and I think people should see that side of you, Ross, because a lot of people are like, oh, he just makes these grossly crazy jokes. You're like, dude, but there's a really complex and, like, cool side part of you, you know, that
a lot of
people get to see if they're not best friends with you.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, as a filmmaker, I always try to make something interesting and new, whether it's drama or comedy. And but again, be original about it. Tackle it from a different angle. A lot of filmmakers, though, everybody's going for this safe thing that they think will get him into something. And I mean, shit, at the end of the day, this guy got into the GI Film Festival as a civilian, you know, who did something shitty. So I guess it, to an extent, it worked for him. I mean, fuck. I mean, he's getting housed now in this podcast, but, you know, it is a lot of, it's a cheat.
I don't want that guy. I looked him up today. Facebook has 527 likes. It should stay there. Because, dude, you don't deserve to be in our community. You don't deserve
it. Well, you know, hopefully, like, if he got the message from us, because we were pretty stern after the fact, and I pulled him aside and talked to him, hopefully he fucking can progress and be like, hey, maybe next project I should get my fucking head out of my ass and actually do something that benefits somebody.
That
so.
Comment, though, right away, I knew when you guys walked in you wouldn't like it. Yeah. So then who was this for?
Yeah, who was this for?
I fucking, he wanted to walk away from the conversation. And I won't go into my personal war stories or anything, but there's a pretty intense scene that happens in the movie that, you know, everybody goes there. It has happened to me in real time and in real war. And I just told him, my outfight said, this happened to me and you put that in your movie. How am I doing? And he was just like, well, you know, and I was like, well, there you go, dude. Like, stop fucking making us look like assholes all the time, dude. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah,
fuck him. Let's all suck his dick.
But you know what, though? You know what's great about it, Ross, is the community is so strong that we will keep guys like that completely shut out forever.
Yeah.
Like, and that's because of all the guys that are running the social sites, the news sites, and everything. It's like, no, don't think that you're going to use. Do not ever fucking think that it's going to come into your head that you're going to use veteran issues and veteran causes as a stepping stone for your career.
Yeah.
If you have a true heart, we'll see it in your work. If you don't, we're going to fucking call you out on it. We're not going to fucking just sit there and go, oh, cool, man, you're in a film festival. No, we're going to go, hey, you're a fucking dipshit.
Yeah, but I'm sure somebody like that, his next short film will probably be about a Latino from the rough streets of fucking Fresno selling crack. So, you know, there's simple cheats to get through and try to make dramatic shit. But, well, fuck them. And cheers. Cheers to you guys.
Cheers to that. But yeah. I will say the overall experience at the GI Film Festival was pretty awesome.
It got rowdy there. It got rowdy as fuck.
It got way rowdy.
Yeah. And,
you know what, though, is one thing.
Respectable rowdy, though.
No, it was a blast. It was a fucking blast.
You know what? That party, nothing fucking stupid went on. We had a professional baseball player there hanging out with us.
Yeah, he was nice.
What a Adam cool LaRoche. Adam LaRoche was
come
there.
Come out and watch our movie and then hung out all night with his wife. Like, that's dedicated. That's the opposite when we say everybody wants to support the troops, so it's time to support the troops.
Yeah.
No, he did. Yeah. He did.
Guess what? Adam LaRoche, you
cheers
are the
you,
fucking
dude.
Man.
Cheers to you.
Because you truly put your money where your mouth was.
Yeah, he's fucking awesome. You know what the ironic thing about it is we actually talked about him on a podcast maybe 10 or 12 ago about a guy. Rocco brought up the guy who retired because they wouldn't let his son in the clubhouse anymore.
That's right, yeah.
That's Adam LaRoche.
Yeah, that
he
is.
He turned down
is.
$13 million this year because they wouldn't let his son in the clubhouse anymore. That's the same guy. So that's
did
how
he end up getting picked up?
He did not. He retired.
Damn. Well, that's a man of character right there.
A man of character, and he's at our movie. He's at our movie.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. It's Adam LaRoche. Cheers, man.
And
you're
fucking
rad.
And he said he liked it, which was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys talk to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I spent some good time with him.
I talked about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. No shit.
Rocco was pinned to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Huge, Rocco came in like
huge baseball
bro.
Fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. Hey, you know what was even more, though, amazing was the night before that screening, we had a screening at Walter Reed Hospital.
God.
Boy, yeah. I was nervous going.
Me too, man. I got to admit, you know, I was talking to Nick the other day, and him and I, it's like, it's weird to be in a position where, like, dudes like that are thanking you, and you're just like, ah, man, but, like,
bro. Yeah.
I'm in such a good place right now. Not that you're not, but, like, geez, dude, like, you've had to struggle, and those dudes, they're humbling, and they're fucking motivational, so thanks to Walter Reed. Thanks to the guys that came out. And I liked how mellow it was because we got to chill and talk. And it's fucking rad, man. That was
yeah,
that was
we got
really
to hang
cool
out
experience.
Hang out with everybody, dude, afterwards. It was amazing.
I watched I watched a triple amputee like almost fall out of his chair in tears multiple times in the movie, and I'm just watching him, and I was looking at you, Ross, like,
yeah.
This is it right here. This is it.
That's as good as it will get, to be honest with you.
Yes, like, yeah. Absolutely.
No matter what screening or anything we do, screening that movie at Walter Reed was probably the most amazing experience we'll ever have.
To see him clap. Like, yeah. He was clapping with his one good arm and a prosthetic. Like
yeah.
Come on. Awesome. Like, what else do you want to ask for from a movie?
Yeah.
And then we turn around and win the Viewer's Choice Award. There is nothing better than that.
No.
That meant, hey, guess what? We did what we came here to do. We made the movie for you guys.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And anything after that, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's...
And then Flo, Medal of Honor recipient, came out and supported us
well. He spent almost 3 days with us.
He came down. He was on the red carpet, too. We've got...
He was my date. I walked in because we came to the hotel together, and I was like, I don't have a date to the premiere, so will you be mine? So that's why all the pictures are with Flo and I.
The pictures are so good.
Say his full name, by the way, for the audience.
Florence Groberg.
Yeah. Great. He was an awesome guy. He was a blast.
Captain Florent Grover.
He introduced us at Walter Reed. He came to the red carpet and the screening of the GI Film Fest. Couldn't have been a fucking cooler guy.
I'll tell you what, that introduction at Walter Reed, that was something else for me. To hear a Medal of Honor recipient get up and say and point to us and say, look, I love these guys so much and I cannot believe what they've done and I respect them so much. Like, to hear those words come out of that guy's mouth and say, you know, say those beautiful and nice things about us was just kind of like, that was humbling. Like, oh, shit, man.
Like dude, you guys are the heroes,
shit.
Man.
Yeah.
We get drunk and have a shitty podcast.
I worship you. And you're over here saying all these nice things about me. Come on, man.
I know.
But that's the beauty of, like, this whole environment that we're a part of with the Drinking Bros and the extension of Drinking Bros. It's like, every single day when we do these events, we get to hang out with, like, peers and these fucking awesome American badasses.
It really
dude.
Shocked my parents. They were just like, I cannot believe this.
What was your mom's response after watching the film?
She laughed until she cried. She said, she was like, there was a couple things in there you guys are completely disgusting and you should fuck off for. But she was like, overall, like, I laughed the entire time. It was so weird. Seeing you up there, it's so weird having people come up to me and talk about you and tell all these stories I know nothing about. And
yeah.
And then again, like guys like Flo and everything walking up and shaking my dad's hand and talking to them about his, it's really weird. My dad was 29 years in the military. So it's like,
I didn't know your dad was 29 years.
Yeah, he has a Medal of Honor recipient going, oh man, I love your son.
That's crazy.
Said, he's like, whoa, this has been a crazy weekend for me.
Dude, I will say Jared's mom is cool as fuck.
Yeah, and by the way, I thought she was your sister.
She looks crazy young. Like,
and everybody,
don't let us drink a couple bottle of wine together, because you know
everybody had said like, oh, Jared's mom
is
hot.
Stepdad.
Jared's mom is hot, and I was like, wait, what?
She is.
They were like, dude, wait till you see her.
Wait, fuck, she listens to the podcast.
You know,
I thought it was your sister. I thought it was your sister. I did.
You
no
know
lie.
What was cool is we had Nate Wessel there, and Nate Wessel is an icon in the BMX world. He's a guy that works for Nitro Circus. He's been Travis Pastrana's head ramp builder
for
a long time.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah, him and his wife were there. And you know, Nate's a little older. He's almost around he's about 9 years shy of my dad's generation. My dad grew up a skateboarder. So him and my dad really connected on a cool level because they were throwing out names and places in California and times in the rise of the sports, you know, back in the
start
80s
of the
and
Warped
90s.
Tour and all that.
Yeah.
Crazy
once
stuff.
All that stuff took off, and even Nate came up, he's like, bro, me and your dad just had a fucking moment, man. We knew some of the same people. We were riding some of the same places. And it was just like to see this connection of this fucking crazy world. Even Nate and his wife were fucking amazing. Everybody loved them everywhere I took those guys. Like,
that's
super.
You know what? Another
cool
thing too,
people.
Which didn't happen in DC for the listeners right now. Like, a lot of times when we do events, there's always that guy. Like, there's always that drunk guy. But like all the Drink Bros, because there had to be what 25, 30 plus.
Probably yeah. 30 plus.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That we were hanging out. One person got dumb, and there was a couple people who got real fucked up, but then very responsibly.
Still broken glasses.
No, but no. Four other drink bros put them to sleep. Yeah. Everything was cool. I know one girl got pretty drunk, but everybody took care of her. Came right back to party and let her go. Everybody
got home safe. There was nothing. There was no like. That was literally a textbook style of party hard, but be responsible.
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. It was great. There was only one mishap where I saw a guy fall down, do a full split at the after party. I was going to help him, but he jumped up and shook it off like nothing happened, and then found out his buddies weren't in that room and just kept on fucking dancing. He was just dancing his little heart out that night.
Dude,
he was being a brave little toaster, wearing
a fucking Osama mask.
Oh, my God, that's right. The guy who was dressed up like Osama bin Laden who came in was
panties.
Crazy.
Like,
yeah.
That party, we really shook up the festival. But
yeah, that got
morning,
a little wild. Somebody was like, hey, man, Osama's here. And I was like, wait, what?
I saw a post from Laura, one of the founders of the G. I saw it today. And it was the photo of us accepting the award, and she said a lot of nice things about it.
Really?
She was just like, I'm surrounded by these hunks and these amazing individuals that have accomplished feats end over end. Like it was like, oh shit, Laura likes us.
Wow, look at that, Jared. Really turning it around. Yeah. Really turning on the charm.
And I have to put this out for the Dream Bros listeners as well. Like, so we showed up when we premiered a movie, all of us were in suits, dressed to the nines. When we went to the after party, we were like,
that, by the Q&A, I was already shedding layers.
Well, yeah, of course you were. But the award ceremony the next day, like, we were like, we're not getting anything. So we all showed up in board shorts.
We didn't even know we were entered.
Rocco's in a tank top. Yeah, we didn't even know we were entered. And then we ended up winning the Viewer's Choice Award, and it was like, shit. Or
just shout out to Jamie, man, the host.
Yeah, he's
Jamie
awesome.
Jamie Kaler. Holy shit. He owned that show, Ross. I don't know if you ever heard of stand up or any of his stuff. Like,
no, I'll have to check him out.
Yeah. He
was great.
He crushed that
show. And he's a military veteran as well.
And, yeah, he did 4 years as a Navy officer.
Dude, line he dropped at the end, he was like, man, can next year not be so depressing? Like, why don't you make a fucking movie about when I got out and had crazy amounts of sex and lived on
like,
the beach?
I played volleyball in Venice and had crazy amounts of sex on the beach.
That's
it was
awesome.
Like, thank you. Thank you. Like,
yeah. Again, instead of that one guy's short film, you know, scored by Stained, I'm on the outside. I'm looking in. I can see through you. I just got home. I just got home, Mom. God. I just got home.
Well, we need to change the norm, though, Ross. We really do. We need to bring guys up, and we need to put them at this level of, don't come home. Don't look forward to being depressed.
What's like, that one song? We gonna be all right.
Yeah, we gonna be all right. Right. That's Kendrick Lamar.
That's a new one right now.
Kendrick Lamar. Yep.
So I was interviewed by the local news here. They wanted some
in El Paso, Texas.
Yes,
they had the brave little toaster in El Paso, Texas.
Today, dude. They came in mid track when I was dropping.
Yeah, we were dropping
some mic.
Fire on the mic, and they were like, "Hey, can we get a quote?"
Can we get a quote?
Literally, Ross, I'm sitting in there like tracking and doing my parts of this new song we're coming out with, and I look back and there's a dude walking up with a fucking camera and like a news anchor. I'm like, he's like, oh, it's a news. Let me knock this out real quick. I'm like, God, that's Jared.
That's Jared. Just he's so used to it now. The big lights in the big city. He's just
come on.
Jared's gone Hollywood on us.
For whatever, I mean, this was a different subject. You know, there was a prior Fort Bliss soldier that had gone on some killing spree last week. And the parents and everybody were blaming it on PTSD. So they wanted a quote. And, you know, after I talked, you know, hey, you know, we deal with a lot of people with PTSD and a lot of veterans organizations, like, let's not be quick to jump to that. Like, there's a lot of other factors here. Let's wait for the autopsy. This could be CTE. This could be TBI. There's things that you should look into before you just automatically blame it on something like this. And at the end of the day, like, being a murderous asshole is not a side effect of PTSD. But one of the big points I drove home was, hey, you know, for over the next 2 to 5 years, us on our side, on the Art 15 and BRCC and the Lead Singer side, we're trying to focus more on getting at our veterans before they're in trouble. So showing these guys that are transitioning and that are going into the civilian world and then are going in new jobs after the military, that here's how to be productive. You know, here's how we can help. Here's thing. Don't wait.
And here's
until,
a community.
Yeah.
Here's,
don't wait until you're at that breaking point or you're at that fucking off point to finally ask for help or your family pushes you for help. There's too much focus on that. We need to shift focus back to keeping guys strong as they transition, as opposed to waiting until they break and now we're going to fix it.
What's exactly. When people ask me, like, have you been to war? What's it like? I'm just going, we going to be all right.
We going to be all right. You that's, start that's singing Kendrick Lamar in their face.
We going to be all right.
And if that's not a song, we're going to make it one.
No, it is.
I think it is.
It is definitely Kendrick Lamar. He won a Grammy for it for best.
A Grammy.
Yeah, that's
Grammy.
Right. He did.
He that's did.
Right. That's high dollar.
We going to be all
right. You're going to have a little trouble taking
Ross,
that one.
Ross, you know who else won a Grammy?
Oh.
Dolly Parton.
Hey, you want to know a fun fact about Dolly Parton? You know why she always wears long sleeves?
Why?
She's got two sleeves of tattoos underneath it. Dead serious.
No.
Yep, from wrist to shoulder on both arms.
No.
Dead serious.
That's not real.
I'm going to find that out
right now. Yeah, there's no way.
Totally real. You're welcome to hunt it down. She was a childhood crush. And I got to meet her in person. And underneath that.
That makes her better, dude.
I know.
That makes her better.
I know. She's crazy and she's tatted, dude. You love her, Matt.
You know Tina Turner, like, and I will always love you. Whatever.
Whitney Houston?
She wrote. Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought I'd fuck that one up. Dolly Parton actually wrote that song.
Oh, yeah, dude. Parton's rolling in it. DP is rolling in it, dude. DP's done some crazy shit. Hey, you know where I went, by the way, on our off time and when we were in D.C.?
Where's that?
I maybe heard of it. Ford's Theater. I went to Ford's Theater.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You went to the home.
I did. The Mecca.
You went to our home.
The Mecca.
Lincoln's box seats.
I went to Lincoln's box seats. And I will say this. This is gonna sound weird and shitty at the same time. They kind of commercialized Lincoln's death. Like it's more than it used to be. It kind of was like an old, you know, the theater was run down, and then the other thing across the street is still open where they carried his body across the street, and then he died in that house across the street. That's still there. That still looks like, okay, this is plausible from that time period. The other place is like a fucking, there was an Abraham Lincoln gift shop. I bought a top hat in there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you could buy fake beards. you could dress up as Lincoln and see where he was shot.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Yep. Yeah.
Dude, I won't say who it was, but I had a certain person that sometimes does photography for us, went to Ford's Theater as well. He's like, man, for Lincoln's box seats, I want to take you a picture with you guys with like shotguns and axes, and we'll put like a body on the ground in Ford's Theater. And I was like, yeah, no, that's like a horrible idea.
Here's the thing.
That sounds awesome.
After I was there, for a certain price, I bet you they would let you rent it out.
Yeah, and I was like, let's not
do
that.
No, I think we should
do
that.
Yeah, they had tickets in advance. They had tickets in advance.
Ross, when they look at us and they're like, that's disgusting, we just go, we going to be all right.
We going to be all right.
We
going to
be all right.
Yeah, Lincoln's box seats, motherfucker.
Lincoln's box seats, table or booth, motherfucker.
Fucker, live from Ford's Theater. We should do our first show live from Ford's Theater and rent it out.
We could do a show. Let's try to get so wealthy that we just blow all of our money on booking a paid-for free concert for veterans and supporting community at Ford's Theater.
I don't think
it would cost that much. I think we could get it. We could probably talk to, you know, people.
It was epic. So, hey, by the way, it was $30 to get in. That's how much the ticket was.
That's pricey, I feel like.
It's steep, dude.
If we did our first live show at Ford's Theater, that would be iconic.
I know. Hey, you know what I said to the cashier when they said $30? I said, Jesus. I was like, for $30, you should let me sit in the fucking balcony. You know what I'm saying? Am I right?
No, but actually, Ross, the one thing why they charge $30 is because people are dying to get in.
Oh, shit. Oh, we're going to blow your mind.
I know. It's just like, look, don't lose your head over these prices. Am I right? Am I fucking right? Am I fucking right?
dude.
No,
we going to be all right.
We going to be all right. But that gift shop inside there, you can literally buy like – like a Lincoln dress-up thing. So you could dress up head-to-toe Lincoln. You could buy Halloween costumes, fake beards.
When is it that cool when you can just, like completely when's it not too soon? A dead president?
Yeah, yeah. When's it not too soon?
Do me a favor. For whoever listens, write in the podcast page or one of the social forums we have and say, when is it not too soon? I give it, like, 100 years when you can almost make any joke.
Because... I mean, we're making Cecil the Lion jokes. We're making...
Yeah, but we're assholes.
R.I.P. Cecil.
We don't fucking care.
R.I.P. Cecil. But, yeah, we are assholes.
I mean, we're even making Paul Walker jokes. That was true. Like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I tossed a kid in a zoo just so I could make dead gorilla jokes. You know what I know. I'm saying?
I know. Hey, we lost another one, dude. What was the gorilla's name? Last year was Cecil. This year was the gorilla.
Yeah, what's the gorilla's name?
It starts with a Y.
It's like Harambe or something. It's H. Yeah,
yeah, you're Rambi.
You're Harambe or something.
Rambi? It is Harambe. Okay.
I've got a lot to say about that gorilla thing. Like, because there's a picture circulating, and they're saying the gorilla was trying to protect the baby. You know what I think we should do? I think we should have grabbed the baby, thrown the parents in there, and then shot the parents in front of the gorilla. That's what I think. How do you let your fucking baby?
Like, people are placing the blame on like one side of the whole story. It's like, first, the parents are a bunch of fucking morons.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like, yeah. Fuck you, you piece of shit.
I'll tell you what, I've been around a couple zoos in my day, and I got three kids. None of them ever jumped in a fucking gorilla.
It is hard to jump down into a gorilla cavern like that. Like,
dude, did you see? And the gorilla dragged that fucking kid like a rag doll. At that point, it's like, dude, if that was my kid, I'm putting a fucking 308 round right to that fucking gorilla's face, dude.
I mean, yeah.
You remember when people had like that survival instinct where they would protect people? Like, if my daughter went into a gorilla pen, I'm in there too.
Yeah.
That mom is just like, oh, honey, it'll be okay. Like, you pussy.
Yeah.
Get in there,
Jared,
bitch.
I saw you dive out in front of a Metro, a live bus, when you dropped a 6-inch Jimmy John's. Yeah. Like, you went after that sandwich.
Whoa, that wasn't
like,
he wouldn't have done that for his kid. He would have done that for Jimmy John's. So.
Yeah.
He
well,
done it for both.
He would have done it for both.
There's no level of importance to me. I mean, sandwich, child.
You love them both.
We're all the way up.
Because we going to be all right. The whole podcast is going to turn into our rap fucking references.
I know. Our dirty, dirty rap references.
Dirty.
Well, with that, let's get to the drinking bro of the week, kids.
I fucking love the drinking bro of the week.
Get on it, bro.
Same here. This one was sent in by Grant Bonner, B-O-N-A-R. I hope I'm saying that right. I hope it's not boner, and I mispronounced it, and you were like, bro.
That's cool, though.
It's fucking boner,
You should always default to Bonner, though.
I know. It's like in Hollywood. There's a lot of people with the last name in Hollywood of Wiener, and they pronounce it Weiner because they don't like Wiener. But maybe Grant likes boner. So it's, look, Grant. It's either Grant Bonner or Grant Bonner. Anyways, he wrote an awesome email into the Drinking Bros podcast fan page on Facebook.
Father or grandfather?
Grandfather Joe O'Connor is a 25-year Army vet. Did two tours in NAM, and for the last 35 years, has dedicated his life to helping those with mental health issues in Grand Valley of Western Colorado. Matt's old Nape of the New. Your old neck of the woods.
Neck of the woods.
So
we should have got a beer when I was there, brother.
I know. Yeah. So to Joe Connor and Grant Bonner, cheers, you guys.
Cheers to you, gentlemen.
That was a nice story and a way to thank your grandfather. Like that. That's great.
Fuck yeah, man.
That's great. So for this was a nice episode. This was a fun just the threesies of us. This was a nice thing tonight.
Just the three of us. You
just
and I.
The three just the three of us. Us, you and I.
We're going to be all right.
Fuck, I'm sorry.
We are going to be all right. Because the show goes on. Tartarus Ordnance. The show goes on. I'm not fucking leaving.
What brand are we? I wish a motherfucker would.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Tartarus Ordnance. You want to protect yourself.
Yeah. So, hey, welcome back, Tartarus. Thanks for sponsoring another month of Drinking Bros.
Listen, I'm all about protection, but I'll just put it out there. I don't wear Trojans, but I carry a gun, you know?
Boom.
Holla.
So Shakala, 20-inch blades on the Impala. Holla, get laid tonight.
Of course you know
you do.
Wait, you're not a Little Troy fan?
No.
Nobody's a Little Troy fan, Jared. come on, goddammit.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm gonna put a stop to this right now because I can't hear anymore from Matt Best, Jared Taylor, and Ross Patterson. We are out of here. Good night, everyone.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.